expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center. The Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
And welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Books in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico. This week we present part 7 of our 6-part series on the James Bond film.
Of our part 7 of our 6-part series, we're bad at math.
That's right. We're of our ever expanding series. Where we are going to this week, we had planned to wrap it up last time, but two things happened. One is a lot of people have been tweeting me and emailing me saying how much they've enjoyed us kind of doing a long form, you know, series on one topic on Bond rather than just 1 hour like we usually do. And then the other thing was that I thought of another topic. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due. I thought of this topic. My brilliant method of thinking of this topic was I listened to the James Bond radio podcast, and they've been talking about this topic, and the results that they got, I mean, they went out to their public. They have a huge, you know, listener base and on Facebook and everything, and they went out to them and asked for different people to do this, which I'm about to describe, and they were very surprised by the results. And so I said, well, I'm going to do my own and see if I'm surprised. And I said, well, I got to see if John is, and let's just do an episode on it. And so the topic is James Bond villains ranked from worst all the way up to best. And so I think that when we were, now I haven't seen John's list and John hasn't seen mine. So that should make for some fun as we go along. What we're going to do is start at the bottom and work our way up to the top, back and forth, kind of like the way that we did our favorite movies episode last year, year before last, whenever, because that was a lot of fun. I think people like that one too. We need to do something else like that sometime. But we'll just kind of work our way up and talk about, you know, why we have them ranked there, what's good about them, what's bad about them, what's interesting about them, and so forth. And see kind of how we agree or disagree, and if one of us is surprised by the other's ranking. Now, the way that we did it, and I assume you did it this way, John, I sent you an email, so if you didn't, you're in big trouble. We broke them down by tiers, like top four, next four, next four, next four, near the bottom four, and then the bottom three, because there's 23 so far.
And that's how I did it.
That's how you did it. Good. On reflection, it probably should have started the other way around. It had the top three, but I didn't think of that until I was done, and I didn't want to go and renumber and then get you to renumber because you'd be ticked off too, and I wouldn't blame you. So we'll have the top four. The other thing I told John during this week was it seemed to me easier. The thing I was having trouble with was figuring out the middle. So I said what worked for me, I don't know if you did this or not, but what worked for me was I knew the ones that were sort of top tier, and I knew the ones that were bottom tier. I said once you kind of plug them in the top and the bottom – the middle gets it doesn't get necessarily easier, but it's cleared out a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So did you do it that way?
I did.
All right. Well, without further ado, let us dig in. I don't expect this to be a very long episode. This should be just a short, fun, little quick episode where we'll dig through these 23. So who starts? You going to start? I'm going to start.
I'll start. Okay. We start at the bottom, right?
Yes. Who's number 23? The worst of all, and by the way, let me make this clear. This is one more thing. I'm sorry, I forgot to say. We are not including henchmen. We're not including second bananas. We are only including one villain from each movie that is like the supreme villain. Now, there's a handful that we left out, like the Living Daylights really kind of has two, But we kind of considered Bradley Whitaker sort of the major villain, with the Russian guy that kept bouncing back and forth. Is he a good guy, bad guy? He was just, I didn't even include him on the list. So we only included what we felt was the number one villain. And so here's another example. Rosa Klebb is who I considered the main villain from Russia with Love. I know that Blofeld was in it, but he was only in it as an offstage presence, more or less. You never see his face or anything. And I know that Red Grant was in it, but he was like odd job, a major henchman, I felt.
Yes, yes.
So Rosa Klebb, since she was the mastermind, and I know that the other guy, the Czechoslovakian, you know, genius chess player, but they were all kind of flunkies. This was Rosa Klebb's operation. She recruited what's her name, the Russian agent, and fooled her. She brought in Red Grant, you know, and decided he was okay for the operation. So Rosa Klebb. So in sum, we only have one villain from each movie, but they are who we sort of felt like was the major villain. All right, so who is the worst of all the 23 major villains?
The worst villain is Brad Whitaker.
All right, tell us why.
The whole cheesy, you know, fake American military officer motif with his little board game, you know, wargaming battlefields and arms dealing. And, you know, he wasn't threatening. You weren't scared of him. He wasn't sinister. He didn't seem like he was smart enough to run some kind of supervillain arms deal operation.
No.
and he went out kind of anticlimactically. So he's the bottom of the list for me.
My number 23 is Bradley Whitaker. So we agree on the worst Bond villain. That's pretty amazing.
I think it won't be. There won't be a lot of agreement after this, probably. But it'll be interesting to see.
All right. Yeah, I have Brad Whitaker down there at 23 for the reasons you just said. Plus, he went on to, but that actor went on to play a good guy, like a Felix Leiter style helper. And if you're so not scary that you can be the goofy helper later, you're not much of a villain. I mean, can you imagine, you know, one of your top tier villains coming back later as an affable helper?
No way.
So no Bradley Whitaker. All right. Moving right along. Who is your number 22?
Dominic Green.
Dominic Green. Now we got to say what movie they're from for folks that don't know intimately.
Dominic Green is from, what's the movie before last?
Quantum
of Solace.
Yes. That says a lot about him that you don't even remember.
Of the three most recent movies, that's the title I can never remember.
Oh, sure. It's a big title.
You know, he was this CEO type that was supposed to be an environmentalist, but was really creating this water shortage to profit from it. He was, again, physically wasn't threatening, didn't seem like a mastermind, kind of seemed like a wuss, and it was kind of whiny too. And, I didn't buy it. So
yeah, even his henchman wasn't very scary.
No, it was really like, you felt like Bond could have taken all of them at any point. I don't know. So,
okay, my number 22 is Franz Sanchez from License to Kill. I know that some people really like him. If you listen to James Bond Radio, and I don't want to keep hyping their show, listen to our show. but those guys have a really good show. Tom Sears and Chris Wright, they have a really good show that's just all James Bond, 3 hours long every episode, and they consistently rate Sanchez pretty high. He doesn't seem like a Bond villain. He seems like he should have been I know that actor did a lot of work and he always played a villain, but he seemed like he should have been a villain for like a Steven Seagal movie rather than a James Bond movie. You know, he should have been going up against Steven Seagal on a train or something rather than menacing James Bond. And his lizard just didn't do a lot for me, you know, and his televangelist that helped him didn't do a lot. So, I got old Franz down there at 22. So sue me. All right. Who's your number 21?
Gustav Graves. From Die Another Day.
I've got to tell you before you tell us why, on James Bond Radio, he came in dead last on the aggregate of all the voters.
I don't blame him.
Okay.
I mean, again, we've talked about this before. My least favorite Bond movie, and it's not close.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one where he was in, you know, North and South Korea.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't like the movie. I didn't like him. He was, you know, again, I wasn't super scared of him or anything. And he dies in a dumb way where Bond kind of pulls the cord in his parachute, sucks him into a plane engine. So, yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. And I just watched the movie like a month ago. That's funny. Okay, well, to close out the bottom three, these are just the dregs. These are the villains that you could send 0073 out to take care of, in my opinion. Okay. you could send Moneypenny out and she'd take him out. My number 21, closing out the bottom three, From a View to a Kill, Max Zorin.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Come on. I couldn't put him this low just because I like Christopher Walken.
I do like Christopher Walken, and it's just, again, this is just not somebody I saw as a Bond villain. It's like with Sanchez. When I see Max Zorin in A View to a Kill, honestly, I think it's a Saturday Night Live skit making fun of James Bond. I just keep waiting for him to say, like, oh, you know, and just start pulling out the Walkenisms, you know, just to be funny. So, you know very well that that's like my least favorite Bond movie. I like Die Another Day far more than A View to a Kill. that's a sad commentary on A View to a Kill. And Zorin, I mean, I like Mayday. I thought Mayday was awesome, but Zorin is just, to me, is just kind of goofy. So there's your bottom three, the bottom feeders for both of us. Go ahead now, John, and get us up into the top 20. Number 20.
For me, number 20 is Elliot Carver.
I just saw him last night on Game of Thrones.
I was going to say, now the High Sparrow in Game of Thrones.
The High Sparrow. And he's also he also has been on Wolf Hall. He was playing the Cardinal. I can't think of his name. But the Cardinal that was the advisor to Henry VIII trying to get him a divorce. He played the guy from Jurassic Park played him on the Tudors, Price played him on Wolf Hall. So what do you not like about, I know we talked about this a little bit before, but what do you not like about Elliot? You got him down here at 20.
I mean, again, he's not a threatening villain. He's like a newspaper guy and he uses information or whatever. And he wants to control it all, but I mean, you're not scared of him. I don't love his plan to, you know, create a ward. He's got this stealth boat. I think the idea is kind of silly. And then again, he dies in a dumb way too, where he gets thrown into his own giant drill thing. So
I continue to maintain Anthony Hopkins would have been so much better, and that's who they originally wanted. I mean, I like Jonathan Pryce as an actor, but not in this part. He was just too wussy. And I'm going ahead and saying that now because my number 20 is Elliot Carver. So we've had two out of the four so far matched up perfectly. How about
Look at that?
Yeah. So, yeah, Tomorrow Never Dies, Elliot Carver is my number 20. Like I said, Anthony Hopkins would have been much more menacing, much scarier, you know. When Price throws out his little one-liners, it just falls flat. He needed to be a Roger Moore villain.
Hmm.
I think he'd have been much more matched up with Roger Moore than with Pierce Brosnan. Now I want you to imagine Elliot Carver as a Daniel Craig villain. that really shows you, doesn't it?
Yep.
I mean, he didn't work with Pierce Brosnan. He sure wasn't going to work with Daniel Craig. All right, number 19.
For me, number 19 is Electra King.
Ooh, okay. Now, you know, I got to say, I wrestled really hard with where to put her. Mm-hmm. That's Electra King from The World Is Not Enough, 1999. I had a hard time figuring out how high or low I wanted to put her. I'll save my other comments. Go ahead. Why do you have her at number 19?
I mean, I know some people like her more than this, but for me, you know, she had this whole want to be in the oil business kind of, and I like the actress.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I don't think she was very sinister or threatening and just kind of crazy. But I didn't love her as a villain. I wasn't buying it.
You know, we should have known that she was a villain when they did the whole thing about the earlobe missing. Wasn't that a thing? Because remember, not all, but most Bond villains have a physical impairment somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And she had one. It was right there in front of our face, but we were distracted by the guy with the bullet in his head. Now, see, he could have been a major villain too, but it turned out he was really more the flunky and she was the major villain. So that's kind of the way we went. Right. I mean, you agree with that, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, did you want him on the list too?
No. I mean, that's Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle. Yeah.
No, I think she was more the villain.
Yeah. I like him a lot. I didn't like him as much in this as I should have because I like him in everything else he's done. He seemed a little off in this movie. But anyway. All right. So that was your number 19. My number 19 is another Game of Thrones character, Christatos from For Your Eyes Only. Now, he's not a horrible villain, and I probably have him ranked too low. He's just not a particularly good villain. You know, he's just very vanilla to me. That's the word
I was going to use.
He is bland. I mean, Topol as the guy they first think is this is the one where they do the villain switch up. Mm-hmm. Where you first think that Christatos is the good guy and Topol is the bad guy. And Topol at least is memorable, right? I mean, as the sort mm-hmm. of the, Topol basically is playing Anthony Quinn from the Guns of Navarone, the Greek, you know, mm-hmm. shipping guy who's going to help out on a mission or something.
And he's chewing the nuts the whole time, throwing the shells around.
Yeah, exactly. He's interesting. Whereas, so the two most interesting characters, Bond and Bond's helper, and then the villain's kind of bland. So
no, but because they do the switch thing, I like that a little bit better. But
yeah, I agree. So, okay, number 18.
For me, it's somebody you've already mentioned, Franz Sanchez.
Oh, okay. He got a little higher in yours, but
not still, a lot higher. But
not
still,
a lot higher. Yeah.
Not good.
How do you rate Franz as a villain then?
You know, I didn't love him. I didn't dislike him as much as you did because I thought there was some potential there. But he's not anywhere. Again, once you start getting to this point for me, we're in the kind of that middle tier you talked about. And it got very difficult to separate somebody like him from honestly, Christatos. I have him in a couple spots up from here. But the two of them, you know, I could have gone the other way on. So
yeah, that's fair enough. Okay. That was your number 18?
Mm-hmm.
All right. My number 18. Ooh, this one's going to stir up some controversy. My number 18, maybe, or maybe no one will care. My number 18 is Raul Silva from Skyfall.
Oh, it's on now.
I just don't. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's only been 2.5 years, really. And so maybe as time goes by, I will appreciate him more. And I do think the actor did a pretty good job with what he had. But I just felt like Silva was a poor man's 006 Alec Trevelyan. I thought he was smarmy and creepy, but not in an interesting way, in kind of an annoying way where I just wanted him to go away. And then nothing he did made a lot of sense. I mean, one of my big complaints about Skyfall all this time has been that everything that Silva does in it doesn't really make any sense. And so it's just hard for me to like a villain in this day and age that is fairly unlikable even as a villain and makes about as much sense as the plot of Prometheus, you know? So that's why I've got him down there. I'm curious to hear your thoughts about him when we get to your ranking of him. So,
okay.
All right. Number 17.
For me, number 17 was Kamal Khan.
All right.
I believe from Octopussy.
Yes.
And again, you know, not an incredibly interesting villain. You could have, this is another one of those movies. You could have gone multiple guys. General Orloff is in it.
Yes.
You know, he's kind of this Indian guy that works with Orloff, and he dies in a plane crash. But, you know, and he has this thing where he hunts Bond from an elephant for a while, like a tiger hunt, and Bond's the tiger. But, you know, again, not a whole lot there. And again, he kind of shares the main villain role. So that's why I put him here.
Yeah, that's perfectly fair. You're right. We're in kind of that period where that section of the list where you could have really kind of put them in almost any order here. So it was kind of hard to say this one over that one right here in the middle. We're not exactly in the middle, but in this area. My number 17 was your buddy Dominic Green from Quantum of Solace. I had him a little higher than you did, and I'm trying to figure out why that was. And I think it's because while I don't like him very much, I liked him better than Silva, and I thought he was marginally more interesting than Christatos, and certainly better than Carver. So that's kind of how he ended up at 17, is that a lot of what he did didn't make sense either. But to me, he did carry a little bit of a sense of menace with him. I never quite knew what he was going to do, and he seemed just erratic enough but while being sort of coldly logical at the same time that he at least had me somewhat interested. So I give him number 17.
That's fair.
That gets us out of the next to the bottom bracket of four. Now we move up to the bracket of 13 through 16. So who is your number 16?
Not sure if this will be controversial or not, but for me, it's Lashif.
Oh, it certainly is. Oh, Lashif falls all the way to 16.
Justify yourself,
Mr. Ringer.
Now, I said, that's not a comment about the movie, because I really like Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I love the movie. I like Daniel Craig in it a lot, but we're talking about Lashif in it.
Yeah.
And again, you know, he's this kind of super genius math guy who takes all this terrorist money and gambles it on a stock market thing where he's going to blow up planes and then short the stock futures. That's his plan.
Right.
Which is okay. But then Bond, you know, stops the airplane thing from happening twice, and he fails. And so then all the terrorist groups come to kill him, and he sets up the poker game. And so a lot of the movie is the poker game with him and Bond at the table, and he poisons Bond and that kind of stuff, and he does a fake tell kind of thing. But then, like, the other part is he's, you know, he dies right after that.
Yeah.
And the girl, you know, kind of goes with Bond and double crosses him, and then also Mr. White was kind of pulling the strings behind stuff too. So
that's true.
I think there's kind of these villains behind him, and also the betrayal of the girl I thought was a more meaningful part of that movie too. So that's why I put him here. I mean, I like the actor, and I thought he was kind of menacing and creepy.
Yeah,
I thought he definitely had some creepy, but you know, I easily could have gone four spots higher on him too. So
okay. Well, I'll get to him in a minute and kind of give my side on that. I don't disagree with a lot of what you said there. There was something else I was going to mention, it'll come to me again in a second. So, all right. So that was your number 16.
Yep.
All right. When I get to Lashif, I'll hopefully bring that back up. So, all right. My number 16 is where I have Electra King. I just had her a little higher up than you did, simply because, like you say, I like the actress. I did like the sort of fake out that she was the damsel in distress Bond girl. No, wait, she's the villain. It's kind of cool having a female villain there, and she even got to torture Bond a little bit. Although I wasn't thrilled. I thought they could have come up with a better torture device than that dumb chair with a knob or whatever. But no, I thought she was okay. So that's where I have Electra King at number 16. Who is your number 15?
It's somebody you've already thrown out there, Christatos, the Greek villain, who's kind of vanilla, but you know, he also has the kind of appears to be the good guy, then gets switched over and he's the bad guy. So, but also had the cool fortress on top of the tower thing.
That was pretty cool. He did have one of the better hideout enemy lairs mm-hmm. of the whole series. That's up there with Piz Gloria and On Her Majesty's Secret Service. It's not a volcano rocket base, but it's up there. Yeah. You know,
they can't all be volcano rocket bases.
That's true. But it is definitely right up there. I love the way they had to get up on the top of the mountain. They had a little elevator mm-hmm. well basket thing. Yeah, that was awesome. That was really cool. So, all right, my number 15, and you're not going to believe that he made it this high, is Gustav Graves.
I can't believe it. He's way too high for you. Why do you like him better than some of these other people?
From Die Another Day. Because he was so freaking obnoxious and so slimy that I love Pierce Brosnan as James Bond so much that I just loved having somebody that I could just openly root for Brosnan's Bond to just kill. Just slice and dice him. Just murderize him. I mean, Elektra King, you know, she was kind of sympathetic to a certain degree. You felt bad that she'd basically had the Stockholm Syndrome thing done to her by Carlyle. And you know, some of these others are – but he was just nothing. And then you find out he's the evil North Korean guy who's been transformed into the smarmy – snotty British aristocratic snob, which made him doubly horrible. And so I just thought he was kind of interesting. I know the movie sucked, but I don't know. And if there hadn't been the whole North Korean thing, and if it had just been that actor as a snotty British villain, I thought he'd been pretty cool. So that's how come I haven't met high.
That's fair.
All right. Number 14 for you.
Might be venturing into controversy land again here, but for me, 14 is Alex Trevelyan.
Oh, that hurts my little heart.
I mean, again, for me, he could have gone anywhere between about 8 and 14. But I put him down here because some of the other guys I just like better.
He didn't go between 8 and 14 for me, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is why we're doing this, because yes, we're going to disagree on these
absolutely,
things.
Absolutely,
so, absolutely. You know, it was interesting that the idea that he was a former 00 agent was cool, and I like that. But I didn't love him as a villain compared to some of the ones ahead of him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hate that General Orimov didn't get to be on the list anywhere, but he kind of dies early, and it's clear that Trevelyan is the main villain in that. So, but I liked Orimov a lot. I liked him as much as any of the Russian generals, and there's a lot of Russian generals in this series, you know?
No, there are. I mean, and that's another one of those movies, again, where there's multiple mm-hmm. bad guys in it.
Yeah.
You know, and the general could have been a bad guy, but... No, he didn't do it for me.
My number 14, this won't take but 2 seconds, is Kamal Khan. He got from Octopussy. He got this high because it's Louis Jordan, and I just loved seeing him and Roger Moore trying to out-swab each other at dinner. It was all worth it just for that, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Who can be more snobbishly, aristocratically snobby and suave between the two of them, you know? And so I didn't like his death. I thought that was pretty cheesy. I didn't like much else about him, but I like Louis Jordan a lot. And it was neat. Sure. It was neat to see him as somebody that could actually out Roger Moore. So that's why I have him at 14. All right. So the last of this section, number 13.
Stromberg for me.
All right. Why do you have him kind of here in the middle, more or less?
I mean, again, he's the guy that had that Atlantis underwater base, which we didn't love when he had our movie discussion. It's kind of he wants to kill everybody on Earth with a nerve agent, and then he, you know, would live in this undersea world and stuff.
No, he wanted to start the nuclear war. I know it's the exact same plot, so I'm not surprised.
Oh, that's right. Okay, no, you're right. It was nuclear war, but again, he's going to live in this undersea world.
Right. Right.
He was going to have the submarines fire at each other. So, yes. I just didn't, you know, he had the whole Shark Tank thing. It was kind of cool. But he never, I just didn't think he was, as Carl Fuller's entertaining as some of the other people on this list. So.
Right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do mine too then, because my number 13 is also Carl Stromberg from The Spy.
Get out.
Yes. So we agree again. This is at least, what, three at least?
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah. And for me, yeah, it's like what you said. Plus, he never really did anything. I mean,
No. He
just kind of sits behind his dinner table and eats and gives orders. And then at one point, Roger Moore comes in and shoots him. And that's pretty much it. I mean,
what I'm saying. Like, he never went anywhere or did anything. He sat there to do this, do that, and then threw people in the fish tank or whatever. And then ultimately he gets shot.
Yeah. I mean, when you make Hugo Drax seem like the energetic of the Bond villains, that's pretty sad. So, yeah, he's down there. All right, let's go up into a new bracket, and we're now in the top 12. Ooh, top 12. Who is your number 12?
For me, it's Emilio Largo.
Largo. Wow. Okay, interesting. I find this controversial, too, but go ahead and explain.
It's a good movie, but it's not my favorite movie. He gets shot with a harpoon gun. There's a lot of the underwater stuff. I thought he was good. I thought he was very smooth and he was sinister, but, I didn't love his plan and I didn't love, the actor as much as some of the ones ahead of him, I think.
Yeah, I can see your rationale. I'll have something to say about him, but it'll be a while. All right. My number 12 is Ernst Stavro Blofeld, but this is the first Blofeld that either one of us has brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to make it clear to the audience, because we took the main villain from each movie, we have multiple Blofelds on this list. Because honestly, they are different characters. I mean, there's not a lot in common between Donald Pleasance's Blofeld and Charles Gray's Blofeld. They are completely different characters. And then Telly Savalas is a completely different character. So, and none of them are really much like the one in Thunderball and From Russia with Love that just kind of sat there petting the cat with no face, So,
mm-hmm.
And saying, number two, you will now execute the plan or something like that. That doesn't have anything to do with Telly Savalas, really. So, or Charles Gray. So, my number 12 is Blofeld Telly Savalas. He's always been my least favorite of the big three Blofelds.
Mm-hmm.
He's not bad. He's just not my favorite Blofeld. He doesn't seem like a Blofeld to me in a way. And we've talked about before how this movie is so much in its own world that Bond had just fought Blofeld in the previous movie, and yet Blofeld doesn't know who Bond is in this one.
Yeah.
So it really is in its own little universe, and so I don't even think of him as Blofeld. So I'm just thinking Telly Savalas, the Bond villain, he's number 12.
That's fair.
All right, number 11, and you can comment certainly on him when we get to him on your list. So number 11 on your list.
Your buddy, Max Zorin.
Max, oh wow, holy cow, he's 10 spots higher on your list than on mine.
And he probably shouldn't be this high because the movie was so bad around him, but I some of it is just because Christopher Walken, and I thought, some of the things he did in the movie I kind of liked. And I like, he had the blimp.
Yeah, he did have the blimp.
Threw the guy out of the blimp and that kind of thing. He died from falling off the Golden Gate Bridge, but, and he had this kind of good backstory that he was a Soviet experiment going wrong, kind of, so.
Yeah, that had the potential to either be really cool or really stupid, and I'm still not entirely sure which way it went. all right. Well, okay. So that was your number 11?
Yes.
My number 11 is Le Chiffre from Casino Royale. And I guess I just thought, like you said, he is pretty creepy. I think he plays a good menacing villain. And he does have the benefit of having a very good movie around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that boosts him up. If the movie had sucked, if it had been Mads Mikkelsen as Mr. Green in Quantum of Solace, he wouldn't be nearly as high. But instead, he gets to play Le Chiffre in Casino Royale. So, and he had the weird physical thing going on with his eye,
mm-hmm.
and the inhaler, you know. You're right that he does kind of die early on. Oh, I know. That's what I was going to say is, yeah, if we were to add Mr. White onto this list, and Mr. White has never been a main villain, but he's always just been kind of like lurking in the shadows of every movie. Is mm-hmm. remember I said on the Daniel Craig episode that Mr. White's job is to tell Daniel Craig, oh, you in it now. You don't know what you're dealing with, boy. You're a kite dancing in a hurricane, Mr. Bond. I love Mr. White. I can't wait to see him in Spectre. And if we had him on this list, I might have him in the top five. Just for his very few moments, like the moment where he says in Quantum of Solace when they got him there interrogating him, and he says, I don't mean to make this about Mr. White, but this is the only chance we're going to have to talk about him, where he says something like, you people have no idea. We've been living in fear that you were watching our every move, and you don't even know we exist. Like, this is a Bond villain right here, baby. I love him. So, yeah, Le Chiffre was really cool. He had a lot of good stuff going on. So I got him up here at number 11. Now we get to the top 10. Top 10. Who is number 10 on your list?
Hugo Drax.
Yes. Drax makes the top 10. I'm very excited. Why do you have him in the top 10?
I thought he had a cool plan. I thought he was an interesting character. You know, the whole space shuttle thing, and he got killed by Bond shot him with a dart and then blew him out of the hatch basically. I liked him. I thought he was interesting, and then I had the whole scene kind of early on to his estate in California where they were hunting, right?
Yep.
Or they're shooting, and somebody died, and it was kind of creepy. I thought he was pretty good.
I'm going to go ahead and roll right on in because I have number 10, Hugo Drax from Moonraker.
Yeah, nice.
We agree again. I didn't think you'd have him this high. I just have always assumed I was the only person in the world of Bond fans that really liked Drax. So yeah. I'm glad to find that out. The James Bond radio guys like him too, but most people I don't think like him. I've always called him the Perry Como of Bond villains because he's so laid back. He almost looks like he's asleep half the time. Go ahead.
He has those almost lidded eyes.
Yes. Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's almost like if Blofeld's cat turned into a human and became a villain. He just kind of sits there purring, you know? I love that he's kind of got his suit, which looks like almost like a Blofeld suit. Mm-hmm. I like that he's got his giant mansion. He has all this money. He's probably the richest of all the Bond villains, and that's saying something.
And, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, his gigantic estate, he owns all the space, aerospace stuff and everything else, plus the big complex in Rio and Brazil and the jungle and everything. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going on. And remember, he's not working for Spectre, so he doesn't get to expense all that on the expense account. This is all coming out of his pocket. But I like that, like he says, take care of Mr. Bond. See that some harm comes to him. And I love the bit where he's trying to replace his henchman.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer him Jaws, you know, and you don't know he's offering him Jaws, but he's like, you know, like, get me another henchman. Well, if he's available, certainly. I only caught that in rewatches, you know, that he's like all excited to get Jaws, which is hilarious. Like there's like this super villain fraternity and he's like, I get Jaws this month, you know. I think his death scene is one of the better ones. There have been some really bad villain deaths.
Yes.
And that have spoiled some very good characters otherwise. But I love that Bond gets him with the little raising his hands like don't shoot and mm-hmm. zaps him with the cyanide dart and then puts him out the airlock and says one giant leap, take a giant leap or something, Drax. So yeah, he was not the most dynamic villain ever. But he does get a lot of good moments, and that's an underrated movie. So, all right, number 9 for you.
Silva.
Oh, wow. He's a top tenner. All right. Tell us why you like Silva. I said why I didn't like him.
Now, think about this story from this perspective, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's a British agent who's doing his job kind of behind enemy lines, messing with the Chinese and, you know, Hong Kong in that area. He gets captured But basically, he gets captured because M turns him over to the Chinese. Right. And he doesn't tell him anything. And finally, he realizes while they're after 6 months of torture that M did turn him in. That was the only way they could have caught him. And he decides to bite the cyanide capsule, and he doesn't die. It permanently damages him. It probably gives him brain damage too, but it permanently disfigures his body and messes with his life. And he has a long, painful time in hospitals after that. They keep him alive to torture him, and then finally he gets out. And he's basically demented with this idea of revenge on M. That's what the whole movie's about, is that he was basically, tortured and psychologically messed with and tried to kill himself in an effort, with constantly thinking about her and what she did to him. Mm-hmm. And so the whole movie is about getting back at her, like stealing the list, blowing up the office, getting captured, and then shooting at her, at this hearing, and then eventually going to Skyfall and trying to shoot her there, trying to kill her there. It was all about revenge. And I thought he was kind of creepy, in kind of a sinister way. And I liked, I liked his little speech about the two rats.
Yeah, that was good. I agree.
So that's why I liked him. Yeah,
that was pretty good. It made me think of King Rat, which I think is a very, very good novel and movie. Okay, you make a darn good case. All right, let's go up into the next to the top tier, the second from the top tier of four. I hadn't done mine, did I?
No, you have not.
I didn't do my number nine. I'm sorry. Okay, my number nine is the second Ernst Stavro Blofeld on my list. And number nine Blofeld for me is Charles Gray from Diamonds Are Forever. I really like – you haven't mentioned him yet.
Ooh. I have not.
Ooh. I really like him. I think he's – there's a – in some ways, he's my favorite – he's not my favorite Blofeld, but in some ways, he's one of my favorite villains just because kind of like with Gustav Graves, he's a smarmy British aristocrat who just – looks down on everybody and is slimy, and I really enjoy that about him. The one thing that maybe holds him back is that at one point he's in drag, and I just don't need to see Blofeld in drag.
Other
than that, I just really enjoyed him in this movie. I thought he needed a better defeat than just being in his little submarine getting banged up against the wall. That wasn't very impressive of a way to get defeated.
No.
But that's where I have him at number nine. All right, so number eight for you.
Number eight for me is somebody you've already mentioned. It's the first Blofeld for me. It's the Telly Savalas one.
So we both have Telly Savalas as our third of the three Blofelds.
Mm-hmm. I just think it was close for me between him and Gray, honestly. And I think he's the one that just did the least for me.
Yeah. Yeah, as the Bond radio guys like to say, he is more of a physical threat than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Blofeld's about. Blofeld's supposed to be a mastermind, not a physical threat. So he didn't even seem like a Blofeld in some way. If he wasn't bald and wearing a little gray suit, he wouldn't even seem like Blofeld. So
that's right.
Okay. My number eight is Dr. No from Dr. No. Now, I could have had him higher. I agree. The reason I didn't have him higher is part of what I think actually makes him interesting. It kind of cuts both ways. He's not in very much of the movie.
No. I struggle with that in my ranking.
Well, I think that makes him better in a way. It's kind of funny. If he was in more of the movie, I don't think I would have thought he was as interesting, and he would have been rated low anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he really couldn't win, right? I mean, he's either more interesting but not enough to really rate him higher, or he's less interesting but there's more of him. So he is a good villain. I wish he could have been played by an actual Chinese actor. That would have been a little better. I'm just not a big fan of when they have white people play Asian characters and instead of getting like an actual, Asian actor to play the character. But, silly me. I'm still bitter about having David Carradine in Bruce Lee's role in Kung Fu. I have Dr. No there. I mean, I could have put him higher. But, you just see him kind of being menacing, and then he gets defeated fairly easily, too. Surprisingly easily, I thought. But it was their first outing, so I'm willing to forgive them you know, I'm less forgiving in later movies when the bad guy gets easily defeated. That's right. But I'll give him some slack for the first one. So, number seven for you.
Number seven for me is the second Boba Fett, Mr. Grey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which again, very smooth, more of a charming.
Yeah.
Pop, but again, the drag thing was, and also not quite as, I don't know. Not quite as evil, and didn't have I didn't like him as much as some of the villains ahead of him in terms of the plot of the movie, maybe, and with the Blofeld's role in it.
Oh, sure.
Like you said, the submarine thing was.
Yeah, and Diamonds Are Forever is not a very good movie. We talked about this one at length before in the Sean Connery part two, that there's a lot of things about Diamonds Are Forever that you and I both love. But it doesn't hold together as like one movie very well.
No. It's like somebody said, let's throw these cool five cool things together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're hard pressed to beat Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd, but they're just in like four or five scenes, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess at some point we're gonna have to do the henchmen too and rank the henchmen, just because there's some really good ones. Okay, let's see. I've lost track of where we are.
That was seven for me, I believe.
Okay, so seven for you. Seven for me is Janice, 006, Alec Trevelyan from GoldenEye. I like Sean Bean, even though he always dies. I thought he was a really interesting choice to be Pierce Brosnan's sort of equal and opposite, you know, in this movie. I like both of them as actors, so it was just a real treat for me to have Sean Bean and Pierce Brosnan as the two leads in this movie. I liked his henchmen, particularly Xenia on a top. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. His plot was kind of weak, but I think a lot of the Bond movies, the plots get confusing and complicated after about the 80s. So, I had Alec up there at number seven. I think he's a clear top seven villain for me. Number six for you.
Number six for me is Scaramanga.
Oh, the man with the golden gun.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Lee.
Which, you know, I love Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
And he's great. And he's a good villain. He's an assassin with a special gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bond comes to his island hideout and they have a shootout at the end. But I just think compared to some of these other villains, he was kind of a one-man operation, not a, you know, somebody that was this huge threat, I think. And he did have, you know, tattoo. Working
yes.
with him.
Yes.
He gets points for that. He had the little
knick-knack.
Knick-knack. And I like the golden gun thing, but he's still, you know, in the top eight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty high, but he's not as good as some of the top few for me.
Well, considering his movie wasn't that good, he was, you know, it's some where the movie's good and the villain's not that good, and some the other way around. And I think he's one of those. So, well, obviously, I'll say more about him when I get to him. He'll come up here in a second. My number six. There's some really good villains, aren't there, that are still kind of out there that we haven't that we haven't drafted yet for our That's fantasy right. villain team. That would have been an interesting way to do this too, is if we'd gone back and forth drafting them. I should have thought of that. Oh well, this is good. This is just as good because we each get to say something about them. My number six is Rosa Klebb from Russia with Love. I just think she's really neat. Her spiky boot. You've obviously got her ranked higher than I do, so I'm not going to say a whole lot about her. I'll let you kind of finish describing her. But I thought she's very memorable and a rare female main villain. So, and just mean and scary. So,
yeah, absolutely. She had the real menace.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. That was my number six. So who's your number? We're in the top five now. Who's your number five?
Number five for me is the last of the Blofelds.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Which I thought, you know, I could have gone higher with him, but he was good. I liked him. This is the... Donald Pleasance version. No, thank you. Which I thought he was the best, clearly the best of the Blofelds to me. He came across as a real mastermind.
The creepiest.
it very creepy, and but also very mastermindy.
Yeah.
You know, like he thought, okay, this guy has this, you know, is really smart and has some plan to destroy the world, take over and stuff. So
yeah,
I just thought that he combined those two things very well.
Yeah. All right. He hasn't come up for me yet. We'll see where he ranks in the top five. My number five is Emilio Largo from Thunderball.
Oh.
I love Thunderball. I think Largo is underrated and underappreciated as a villain. I love the eye patch. I love his snarl. He's got a great snarl on his face when he's mad. I just think he is just about as good as any Bond villain. I agree that his death is kind of ignominious. I do like that it's the girl that gets him, right? She's changing sides. It's almost just like the end of From Russia with Love.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
And so I like that twist. I think they maybe went to the well too often there early on, because those movies came out within like, 63, 4, 5, within 2 years of each other. So that was kind of overdoing it. But yeah, I got Largo up there. I think he looks good in the white tuxedo jacket with a black tie, and he just makes a good classy 60s Bond villain. So the top four, we are to the top tier. These are our four most menacing, scariest, evilest, greatest Bond villains. Here we go. Number four, John.
For me, number four is Rosa Klebb, who you just mentioned. I thought she was excellent. Like, she's clearly the best female Bond villain, but she also, like you said, she had that kind of menace. And, and she kind of pulled the strings on the operation, but she was a real danger herself, too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. My number four is the aforementioned Scaramanga, the man with a golden gun. Again, the movie is fairly weak, but I love Christopher Lee so much. I think it could have been so much more. But and I thought the whole Solex agitator thing was kind of dumb. But when it's just him and Roger Moore one-on-one, like back and forth throughout the movie and finally dueling, it doesn't get much better than that. So on his little private island and off the coast of Thailand or something, or sure. China. So I've got him a top four villain. That's the one, by the way, I've always said I want to see remade, just because I'd like to see that movie done a little bit better around Scaramanga. If we could bring back Christopher Lee as a young guy, that would be great. But otherwise, we'll find somebody that could do it. Who is your number three? Number three, top three villain.
Number three,
ooh.
Dr. Kananga, yes. Mr. Big.
Yeah, Live and Let Die. Interesting. Okay, why do you have him number three?
I just thought he was excellent. I mean, he had the whole dual villain thing going on. He was an American gangster and the president of this Caribbean nation. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was just excellent at both. I thought, you know, the actor is so good. And I just thought he was a really memorable villain. And the whole voodoo angle and, you know, riding around Harlem in the big cars and stuff. I just thought he was excellent.
My number three, and by the way, I got to point out that there are two left for you and three left for me. You've already named one of my top two beyond the one I'm about to name.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out who you – oh, I know who you haven't named. Okay, never mind. I know who your top three are, but I don't know the order. Right. My number three is Dr. Kananga, Mr. Big. Now, we've talked before. If people want to go back and listen to the first Roger Moore episode, we talked at length about this episode. But what I want to say is when it came time to rank these – and I started thinking about all of them just kind of vaguely in general. Mm-hmm. There was a voice in my head that said, Kananga's going to end up a little higher than people expect. But the more I thought about it and the more I was ranking them, the higher he went. Yaphet Kotto is fantastic in this role. And it's just too bad that the last thing we see of him is swelling up and exploding like a balloon. This would be the classic bad death for a good villain.
Exactly. If he died better, he could have been number one.
Oh, yeah. Because he, like you say, he was a great Caribbean island dictator. He was a great American gangster. And he was both at the same time. And the way he switched back and forth, he was menacing. He was smart. He was sly. And he had such a great cast of henchmen, just a bunch that are all good. So, yeah, I think Kananga definitely is a solid top three. And it took, for both of us, it took a couple of big timers to keep him down at number three. So who do you have at number two all-time Bond villain?
For me, I have somebody you already mentioned. I have Dr. No.
Dr. No. All right.
And again, maybe I'm being hypocritical here because, like you said, he's not in a lot of the movie. And I criticize some other villains for that. But I thought the parts he was in were just great. I thought he was so good. And maybe it's – I'm looking back at it with nostalgia because it was the first one or whatever. But I just thought he was really, really outstanding.
No, I think he is. I mean, I could have had him higher easily. Going in, I thought I was going to have him in the top three. And it just didn't kind of work out that way because I kept thinking of others. I thought, well, I like this person a little bit better. But no, he's fantastic. He really is. That actor just passed away a couple of years ago, actually. My number two is Auric Goldfinger. Goldfinger. I'm sure you're about to say him. He, for me, is the quintessential Bond villain, save only one. And so if he had been in other movies, if there had been like more of an ongoing plot, it might have boosted him just a little bit higher. But he was only in the one, and he was really a one-off, one-and-done villain. And for whatever reason, that held him back a little bit. And then his you know, there were his plot involving Pussy Galore, Flying Circus, the gas attack and all that. That always kind of was like, they took like a step too far with that. But
that's absolutely true.
But just as a purely as a villain, you know, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. And this was a collaborative effort too, because that wasn't his voice. He was
really?
No, he was overdubbed. He's a German actor that didn't speak great English, and he still did a fine job. But like with so many characters in the first couple of decades of Bond movies, they overdubbed his voice. Many of the female, we talked about this before, many of the female characters were overdubbed, and he was overdubbed. One other thing real quick about him is that actor, he was like a Nazi youth in Germany when he was a kid. And that movie wouldn't be allowed, they wouldn't show it in Israel. But it turned out he had like helped people. Helped Jewish people to escape the Holocaust. And when the Israelis found that out, they let the movie be shown and like thanked him and stuff in their ceremony or something. I forget the exact story, but it's something very much like that. So, okay, well, we're up to number one. And I think I know who is your number one. Who is your number one?
For me, it's Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, woo!
And I think about that line you just said. I also think about he and Bond playing golf together.
Oh, the golf game.
I just think that's a great scene, too, and outside of his whole plan with the gold theft and all that. But
yeah. You got to love when the Bond villain participates in some competitive activity with Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I love Drax in the shoot with the rifle, mm-hmm. the shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
And this is right up there, the golf, where he switches the golf balls and
mm-hmm. –
and Odd Job crushes the golf ball to show how peeved he is at it. And he's got the car. He's got the nobody ever talks about Goldfinger's car. He's got that big yellow whatever it is, you know, with a desk mm-hmm. that folds out and everything. And, man. Yeah, Goldfinger is certainly iconic. There's no doubt about it. All right. Well, anything else about Goldfinger? I want to cut you off.
No, I thought he was really fun.
Yeah, he really is. He would have been my number one, except that to me, the iconic villain of the entire James Bond universe, and we're about to find that out again, hopefully this fall, is Ernst Stavro Blofeld. And my favorite Blofeld from my favorite James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice, is Donald Pleasance. So my number one Bond villain, this is the one that Mike Myers is imitating in as Mr. Evil, Dr. Evil. Oh, don't say Mr. Evil. I didn't go to 10 years of evil dental school for to be Mr. Evil. that's he to me is just the iconic. He's got the volcano base. He's kidnapping space capsules in orbit. He's got the cat. He's got the weird scar. He's bald. He's got the gray jumpsuit. He has an army of henchmen in jumpsuits with machine guns. He's, you know, he keeps wanting to kill Bond. Kill Bond now. He he revels in faking off who he's going to shoot, right, or dump into the shark tank.
Mm-hmm.
Like he fusses at one person and then kills the other one. He just thinks that's just how he gets his giggles right there. He just thinks it's so clever to bring two people up in front of him, tell one of them how horrible they are and they deserve to die, and then kill the other one.
He has that homicidal thing going.
Yeah. He just loves that. He just thinks that's the funniest thing ever. And so he's the creepiest, and he's just the most iconic. So that's why I have him at number one. All right. Well, there we go. There are our top 23 Bond villains in order. You know what I hope is that come November or whenever it is this fall, I'm hoping that Christoph Waltz is a top five Bond villain.
We can hope.
Oh, and I hope that he's Blofeld. I know he's come out again and said I'm playing Oberhauser or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that's kind of like the adopted name that the guy gave him that took him in, you know, from what we've seen in the trailer. This is no spoilers. This is just what was in the trailer. And we're speculating or spectrulating. But I just feel like that's a pseudonym. Mm. And he's gonna be Blofeld, and I'm gonna be very, very happy. So all right. Well, we're out of time. We got it all in. So I hope you folks out there enjoyed it. If you totally disagree, I'm sure that you do, with something that either one or both of us said, be sure to look up on – you can find me on Facebook, Van Allen Plexico. You can find the show at White Rocket Book. I need to get a new podcast-only tweet for this Twitter name. But at White Rocket Book, no S, just White Rocket Book, one word. And you can tweet to me at Van Allen Plexico and at John at JK Ringer and tell us what you thought about our list and who we left out and who we had too low and who we had too high. John, we're going to get on out of here. The Rocket's going to get out of here for another week. Thanks for coming on board again to do part 7 of this 6-part series.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, I'm going to let John go, and I will see you all guys down the road.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.